ॐ जननीं शरदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति द्विकृं कर्णे। इन अवर लास्ट क्लास वी हैव बीन टॉकिंग अबाउट हाउ सम पीपल दे ड्रेस देमसेल्व्स एज जेन्युइन साधुस टू डिसीव अदर पीपल, बट द लॉ ऑफ कर्मा डजंट लीव एनीबडी। वेदर वी डिसीव अदर्स, अदर्स ऑल्सो will deceive us. Our karma phala will come. But such is the short sight of people that they do not understand what we do today, the result will come. Good, good, bad, bad, evil, evil. So describing such people, Shankaracharya is giving very graphic picture. But then, why does he bring this? Because in the earlier shlokas, he said, Trijagati Sajjana Sangati Eka. There is only one way to get out of this bondage of samsara, transmigration. And that is the company, cultivating the company of the holy people. So, we may think, holy people, we have got some idea. Perhaps usually it is they are right that sadhus, sannyasins, people who renounce the world, their holiness we will get. Because there is a special type of dress by which we can recognize here is an all-renouncing monk or a nun, and therefore people naturally are gravitated towards them. But there is something peculiar law. Likes attract likes. Meaning, if I am a hypocrite, my teacher also will be a hypocrite, and whomsoever I come across will be hypocrites. However, whatever dress they may don, that is not the important thing. But I need to be deceived, because I deserve to be deceived, and that deceiving will come in any form. So I have to suffer for that. That is what Shankaracharya in this 14th verse is so beautifully, graphically, in glowing colors. He paints the picture. Jatilo mundi lunchita keshaha, kashaya ambara bahukruta veshaha. पश्यन्नपि च न पश्यति मूढः उदरनिमित्तं बहुकृत वेषः जटिलः। सो इज हेड मैटेड लॉक्स लुंचित केशः इन थाउजेंड्स ऑफ वेस द हेयर इज कट एंड मुंडी मे बी कंप्लीटली शेवन आर द हेयर स्टाइल नाउडेज सो मेनी मॉडर्न पीपल आर डॉनिंग the hair style of sannyasins. They are even putting kashayambara. It has become more or less a fashion among many people. Kashaya Ambara Bahukrita Veshaha. In various ways, they don ochre cloth, which is highly revered, especially by Hindus, by Buddhists, by Vaishnavas, etc., as all renouncing monks and nuns. Bahukrita Veshaha. How much they can hide. One of our senior Swamis, most revered, Ranganathanji Maharaj, used to tell, "Oh beard, how much you can hide." So, people are there, out to deceive. Pashyanna pichana pashyati mudha. So, mudha means a foolish person, an ignorant person, a stupid person. Even though he is seeing, that means even though the signs are crystal clear, anybody with a modicum of intelligence cannot be deceived into napashyati. But such people do not see. Why do they not see? They do not see because they have done some evil actions in the past and they need to pay for that evil actions. So they come across these people and what they have done, they will pay what they have taken away unrighteously, immorally from other people. Now they will have to pay to the last what they call farthing with compound interest. Pashyanna pichana pashyati mudaha. Neither those people who don these type of dresses in order to deceive others, they also will not see. And the persons who see them, who come across them, they are also equally evil people. So, there is a law. One gets what one deserves. Not one what one desires, but what one deserves. But here is a caution. Every sincere spiritual aspirant, he must have that wisdom to see through. And then God also will help. In fact, something, there is a great law. If we are sincere, if we surrender ourselves to God, God will not allow us to come across into the company of such people. Like a loving mother protects her beloved child. So, we have to be careful. We must cultivate satsanga, and that is satsanga also must be in a particular form, not in any form. That's why Sri Ramakrishna used to say, "Sadhu, Savadhan, beware. There are phony and hypocrite people in the holy garb who had taken up this dress for earning their livelihood, for filling their stomach with all sorts of filth." Sri Ramakrishna used to say, they are like crows. They think they are clever, but they, as a crow fills its stomach with all sorts of filthy things, these people also fill their stomachs, all for the sake of udharanimittam bahukrita veshaha. But the tragedy is, they put on this dress, which exactly the representative from ancient times in the psyche of every Hindu, I would say every Indian, even there are Muslim saints are there, Sufis are there, they have their own dress. If you go to Christianity, the monks, they have their own particular dress. So, if you go to Buddhism, there are particular dresses specified. Usually, it will be an yellow cloth, ochre cloth also. So, every religion to distinguish. So, people can know, here are people, it is your duty to look after them, and they will do immense good, not only to you, to the whole world, because a person who renounced the whole world will be only thinking, because there is no choice. There are only two things, God and the world. If one renounces, one runs after the world, that means that person has renounced God. And if one runs after God, that means he has renounced the world. You cannot at the same time go towards the east or towards the west at the same time, at different times, yes, but not at the same time. That's why we have to be very careful, not only in the matter of cultivating satsanga. Sri Ramakrishna warned one of his most beloved disciples, whom he used to consider as one of his antarangas, inner circle, Swami Yogananda. He said to Swami Yogananda that God has given you brains. When you go to purchase something, go to 4-5 shops, find out the best quality and the lowest price. If they are giving something extra, do not lose that also. What a marvelous thing Sri Ramakrishna is telling to us. So just because we are spiritual, it doesn't mean we have to be foolish. On the contrary, Swami Ashokananji used to say, only a successful worldly person can become a successful monk. Anybody who is a failure in the world will also be a definite failure in spiritual life. Why? Because success depends upon the power of the will and that determination to work hard and to use discrimination even in the worldly matters, which is the best way to go about to get what I want. There are also moral rules and regulations are there. All these things are most marvelous things. We have to understand it. So the ploy to use an ascetic guide to dupe innocent people was there even at Ramayana time also. We can see Ravanasara came. And how do we know? Lakshmana had drawn a circle around the hut where he was going to leave Sita alone. Mother, do not cross this circle. That is known Lakshmana Rekha. It is the, I can translate it, Wisdom Rekha. So, do not become unwise. Because whoever comes within this circle, they must, only good people, righteous people can come. When Ravanasara came in the garb of unfortunately a monk, bringing bad name for the whole monastic community, Sita invited him. Naturally, as a householder, sannyasins have to be respected. She invited him. Sir, holy sir, please come inside. But Ravanasara knew better. He cannot come because his very purpose is to deceive, to kidnap, to harm. And he could not come. She should have said, why are you not able to come? That means, if you are not able to come within, that means there is something seriously wrong with you. You are not, in fact, what you appear to be. These are marvelous things we have to understand. So, when one seeks satsanga for spiritual upliftment, they must be wary of such people who have really not shed their egoism and attachments and are still in the grip of thoughts of I, me and myself. Therefore, Ramakrishna warns, sadhus, sadhu, savadhan. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean, sadhu? Usually, unfortunately, we have associated the word sadhu, first of all, with monks. We have to understand, anybody can be a sadhu. Householders can be sadhus. They cannot be called sannyasins, but they can be called sadhus. Sadhu means very good person. Moral person, righteous person, truthful person, beneficial person. That is the meaning of sadhu. But sannyasin, that is a different issue altogether. That's why Sri Ramakrishna used to warn, sadhu means whether you are a devotee, you want to be progressing in spiritual life, savadhan, always use your power of discrimination. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Sri Ramakrishna warned Yogen Maharaj of a Hatha Yogi. Nothing wrong with Hatha Yogi. Hatha Yoga is a valid science, but not useful for spiritual progress. For the betterment of health, certain bodily ailments That's absolutely fine. Now, that's what we discussed. And then I promised you, there was a funny incident in the life of Ramana Maharshi. Ramana Maharshi, in his earlier days, he settled at Tiruvannamalai, and slowly he was becoming famous, and he was such a good person. He would never deny anything of anybody. Anybody goes there and says that you give me what you are wearing, that very second, without hesitation, he will give. Of course, and that is why I can make a little fun. He used to wear only kaupina, and I don't think anybody would be foolish enough to ask you, give me your kaupina. Anyway, he was becoming popular, and so many very great scholars and of highly respectful, respected householders and people in high position in the, at that time, British government, they all used to flock to him, attracted by his powerful spiritual aura. So some hypocrites saw, and they thought, if we can somehow become popular as the guru of Ramana Maharshi, if Ramana Maharshi himself was so great, and the guru of Ramana Maharshi must be much greater. So thinking foolishly that way, one day they came boldly, a number of monks, and then they confronted and said, yesterday night, Shiva had ordered us to initiate you into Shiva Mantra. Ramana Maharshi always smiles because he was not a fool. He knows their past, present and future, everything. Because he was Jivan Mukta Mahapurusha, Brahmavit Brahma Eva Bhavati, in where Brahman becomes Brahman himself. So that is what is happening. Now, one of the disciples of Ramana Maharshi, and Ramana Maharshi himself was keeping quiet. Later on, as he said, I was enjoying the fun. But one of the devotees of Ramana Maharshi, he had no disciples. He never initiated with mantra. But he used to give spiritual advice to everybody, which is more than initiating a person. Inspiring a person is more than initiating a person. So, one of the devotees of Ramana Maharshi, there was a big stick by his side. He said, oh, you are that to those people. Yesterday night, I also saw a dream. Lord Shiva appeared to me and said, tomorrow at noon, some fake sannyasins will be coming, and you will have to belabor them with a big stick. That's my commandment. What Shiva has said has come true. Now I have to obey him. He took up the stick and advanced towards the people who were claiming that they got a dream to initiate Ramana Maharshi. Immediately they understood their ploys will not work here, and they took to their heels and they never returned back. So you see, Sri Ramakrishna could see anybody's character just at a mere glance. And he used to say, I can see the insides of the mind of anybody, like any person can see things that are kept in a glass almirah. So that is the essence of it. We have to cultivate holy company. That is the only way. But we have to be careful what to understand, what is really holy company and what is hypocritical company. And if we don't have that viveka, that means we are not ready for spirituality. So now, about the power of desire, the sway of desire, verse number 15, and this verse is attributed to Totakacharya, one of the disciples of Shankaracharya. Remember, 12, Dvadasha Manjarika Stotram, 12, were composed by Adi Shankaracharya, original Shankaracharya, and rest of the stanzas were composed by somebody, and there is one stanza which concludes Shankaracharya's 12 stanzas. This is how the greatest teaching is given by the great Shankaracharya to that old man who was hoping to become a great Vaiyakarani, that is a great grammarian, Sanskrit grammarian, and brought him to his senses. There is nothing wrong in desiring to become a great grammarian, but there is something wrong. There is a particular age. If any person is foolish enough to say that I want to become a great pole vaulter at the age of 80, that is sheer folly and foolishness. So now the important point is earlier also we discussed that is it possible, as our body goes on aging, is it possible that we can reduce our sway of desires, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya? Will they become slowly weakened because of the weakening of the body? No way. And this is what is being depicted in the 15th verse. Actually, this 15th verse, earlier we had discussed with reference to some other shlokas, which it, how time passes, how everybody has to become old. Remember how Buddha, one day, first time, he drove out in a chariot, he saw an old man, he saw a sick person, and he saw a dead person, and he was despairing, and he also saw a young monk, absolutely indifferent, face radiating, shining with divine light. And then he understood, yes, the world is full of suffering, but there is also a way out, and this monk is showing that idea. All these sceneries, the old man, and the sick man, and the dead man, and this young monk, they are all different dresses put on by the devas for the guidance of the young Siddhartha, Gautama. Now, we enter into old age. What is the point? The point is, however old we become, Asha Pindam Namunchati, that is, that hope that I can enjoy this world with this body in old age, that vain hope, that horrible hope, that impossible, irrational hope, it will not die. That is the essence of it. Angam galitam palitam mundam dashana vihinam jatam tundam pruddho yati grihitva dandam tadapina munchati asha pindam. The body is old and worn. Head, that is, the hairs on the head have turned completely grey. All the teeth have fallen away from the mouth. This man cannot walk without the help of a stick. Yet, he had not abandoned the bundle of desires, or the bundle of desires have not abandoned this man. Both, it happens to both. This is a graphic description. First thing is, we have to constantly keep on mind, one day and soon, I am going to become old. And how old is old? That is a very interesting question. How old is old? First of all, old age, is it related to age or is it related to the condition of the body? We have to be intelligent to understand, when the body is incapable of doing what it is supposed to do, that is called old age. Maybe a sick person, of course we do not call a young sick man a old man, but for all practical purposes, the young man is nothing but a bundle of bones and flesh, not even flesh. It is flesh. Flesh has worn away from that person, become like a skeleton. Only a few bones are holding up that body. And so, we cannot enjoy anything. So, angam galitam, the whole body has become absolutely old and worn out, and the head has become, it is a very natural condition, the head has become completely, all the hair on the head has been either white or people lose. And tundam dashana vihinam jatam. That is, tundam means the mouth is completely, all the teeth either rotting, fallen away, and he cannot do anything. Dashana vihinam. And so such condition, when it is a natural condition, not artificial condition, is called old person. Such a old person, dandam grihitva yati. He cannot take one step without walker. Or even if there is no walker, his movement has become very slow, and that is the end. But what is important? What is the point? Asha pindam tadapina tadapi na munchati. Even in that condition, he wants to enjoy. Or, I would put it this way, he would like to squeeze the same amount of pleasure or happiness from the experience of pleasurable objects as he used to get when he was old. This is, according to me, this is a very important point. Say, when we are, say, from 5 years onwards, we become ravenously hungry, we eat more food, we run around, we play, we jump up and down, and natural energy is there, and we become Ravanasuras at that time, and we are growing up, and our even voice, timbre of the voice has changed very much. So we become adolescents, then we become young people. At that time, anything gives us tremendous amount of pleasure. The quantity and quality of the pleasure that we get when the sense organs are young, we will never be able to get, even if the objects remain exactly the same. I reminded us ourselves how Nachiketa had replied, Sarve indriyanam jarayanti tejaha. Tejaha means the power of the sense organs to squeeze, to give us that happiness, that pleasure, when we were young, in course of time, when we go on experiencing, enjoying, it slowly becomes less and less and less. A time will come, we won't be able to digest what I call even boiled water, double boiled water. We have to accept that condition. I am not depicting a dire picture. What I am depicting is that at every age, our desires must change. When a person becomes wise and he has certain age, let us say after 50 years, and he will take stock of his life, looking back and looking forward, and then he says, now I must shift my ideal. This running after things and earning money, etc., that should not be my primary goal, because I have to prepare myself for death. That is the point. Tadapina munchati asha pindam. This bundle, this lump of asha. What is asha? Remember, asha means hope. Hope means always hoping not only to get something. Usually people say, I am hoping to become richer. I am hoping to get a better job, I am hoping to buy a better house, etc. And this is like putting cart in front of the horse or in front of an oxen. The point is, if the body, which has to enjoy these things, is not in a condition to enjoy, maybe people are suffering from what we call paralysis or incurable disease, any number of dialysis has to be done, liver is not functioning, kidneys are not functioning, stomach is not functioning. But can we be happy? Absolutely. Provided that we have to detach ourselves from the bodily identity and attach ourselves to something higher. It could be Medha, it could be Kala, and it should be, of course, Dharma. That is important. God specially incarnated as a Ramakrishna for the purpose of establishing the ideal at every stage of the body's growth. Our ideal should be appropriate and we should naturally grow, just as naturally we grow from childhood into adolescence, adolescence to youth, youth to middle age to old age to death. It is most natural thing in the world. This is external, but internally also we should be able to grow. So even though this old person is still alive and is still walking, of course he has to eat, he has to take rest, but it is foolish to expect I will get as much happiness as I was getting earlier from the same objects. So that is a great psychological wisdom that we will not be able to do it. So this is how we have to prepare for old age, and then our hair will grow. Any amount of coloring will not help. Any amount of artificial teeth also will not help. People spend, I am surprised, lakhs and lakhs of rupees to get what is called different types of dentures, so that even permanently, and also their varieties are there, I don't remember what are all the things. But if the capacity for enjoyment is not there, and it will not be there according to the old age, however much we color our body or our hair or anything, but the body knows, the inner or internal organs know, and they cannot give more than what they can give. And it will become worse and worse in course of time. But it is not possible for such a person. He will not think, he will not give up hope. We should not give up hope. Hope is a marvelous thing. But what we hope for, that needs to be completely changed, transformed. But what is, I want to enjoyment of this body, and bodily organs have become deprecated. It is not possible. So we have to change it and say, are there other instruments of higher happiness? Yes, the intellect is there and the aesthetic sense is there. And we can, there are almost infinite number of pathways are there to increase our intellect. And then I can assure you, tremendous amount of joy will come, which no amount of sense pleasures can be compared with. This is called intellectual joy. When you really understand, whether it is history, whether it is scientific laws, whether it is the words of the scriptures, intellectually mind you, not spiritually. And when you understand, for example, the Bhashyams of Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, the amount of pleasure we get when we really understand what they want us to understand, that pleasure is no comparison. That is the highest pleasure. Aesthetic pleasure, that is even higher. But the joy of morality, dharma, is something great. For many people, there is a negative idea about morality. The more moral, the more truthful we are, the more we have to suffer. Remember, suffering or happiness is not the result of what we call the type of life we lead. It is the result of what we have done. That is inevitably. There are so many people, sannyasins for example, monks or nuns, they enjoy worldly life, worldly objects, much more than even samsaris, that is householders. Why? Because God brings them. A funny incident comes to my mind. One day Sri Ramakrishna was in his room with a lot of devotees, and somebody has brought what is called a classical jalebi. and Sri Ramakrishna loved jalebi. He used to call it Viceroy. Funnily, what does Viceroy mean? Supposing there is a place and thousands of lakhs of people have crowded and it is full of cards and all those things. There is no place even for a human being to move forward. Suddenly, the Viceroy of India decides to visit that place and everybody has to hastily give way to Viceroy. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean? So supposing I have eaten to the full until my throat food is there. If I put my finger inside my mouth, I can see the food. But when jalebi comes, then even though it looks as though I cannot put one more grain inside my mouth, but quite a number of jalebis, they can make their way inside. That is the special power of jalebi. So one day Sri Ramakrishna was eating the jalebi and then he passed a remarkable statement. He said, I get all these goodies because I take the name of God. And this is a tremendous spiritual law. If one takes the name of God sincerely and God will look after him, then he will, whatever is necessary, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, whatever is needed by that person, I will bring. Whatever has to be protected, nobody can take it away from him because I will be their protector. This is the promise of God. So we have to remember. But we also have to remember that however old a person becomes, if he doesn't grow in wisdom, it will be like the story of King Yayati. Even after 1,000 years of fully indulging in the most horrible sensual pleasures, especially eating, drinking, etc., and mixing with women, etc., he made a remarkable statement because he became wiser. Just as fire cannot be put out by pouring ghee, petrol, but on the other hand, it grows on growing. So, it is not possible as you go on enjoying najatu kamaha kamanam upabhogena shamyati. By enjoying, you think that desire will be suppressed. Yes, it will, that's the exact word. It will be suppressed for a short time. But after a few hours, as soon as whatever we have eaten, etc., or whatever enjoyment we had, after a few hours, it will spring up with renewed energy and we become slaves in course of time. So he called his son, as we discussed it, Puru, and coronated him, and then he became a monk, and he was really a great person. And that is what we have to remember, that old age doesn't reduce the desires, but we have to consciously reduce the desires. That is important. But for that is to give up the desires that work up the mind, that enslave the mind. One should keep the mind and heart pure. What does it mean, mind and heart pure? Mind means thoughts. And heart means our capacity to understand. It must be pure understanding, right understanding. And this is the definition of satya and dharma. Satya means the state of purity. Dharma means whatever conduces us to attain to that state, whatever actions, activities, in the form of thoughts, in the form of speech, and in the form of activities that we have to do, and that is called dharma, and that which slowly takes us to the state of consciousness called satyam. This is the relationship. Satyam is the goal we want to attain. Dharma is the path for us which can take us to that state of satyam. Another name for satyam is God. So, it cannot come all of a sudden. This is one of the misunderstandings people have got, misnomers they have. Now I am busy, I will be doing worldly activities. When I retire, then I will have ample time, then I will think about God. That is not going to happen. One must start practicing this spiritual sadhana from one's youth, so that in old age, one has peace of mind and enjoys old age with inner peace and tranquility. But the important point is, the quality of our happiness will increase enormously with spiritual practice. And one cannot describe it like a musician who knows all about music and he himself is a practitioner of music. That person, he can enjoy any particular composition, but an ordinary person, he can also enjoy, but not to the same degree, because this person doesn't really understand the nuances of all the ragas, etc. So, one must practice it from the young childhood. That is why often I quote this one, Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Pinjarastam Adyaiva Me Vishatu Manasa Rajahamsaha Prana Prayana Samaye Kafavata Pittaihi Kanthava Rodhana Vidhau Smaranam Kutaste. If I do not practice the remembrance of, O Krishna, your remembrance right from now, it is impossible when the life is about to depart from this body and I am suffering from kapha, vata, pitta, that means terrible diseases. And all my attention goes only in thinking, in remembering them. My head is aching, my leg is aching, my stomach is, back is aching. Smaranam kutaste, how can I remember you? So, let me start practicing it. Let the swan of my heart enter into the cage of your lotus feet, O Krishna, right now. Most marvelous shloka created by Kulasekhar Alvar. Now we enter into verse 16. This is also depiction of old age. This is also depiction, but with a slight difference, that however old we may become, it is very difficult to give up hope. As I said, hope has two aspects. We hope to progress in spiritual life. We hope to become good devotees of God. That's one aspect of it. But we hope to be able to squeeze worldly happiness more and more. That is absolutely wrong. So this is about, here is some person, his condition is pitiable, somehow he is leading his life, but the bondage, the rope of what we call hope to enjoy worldliness doesn't leave this person. It is almost impossible, not really impossible, but can happen only by the grace of God. That is the essence of it. And there are many, many wandering monks, and especially in North India, because South India, one doesn't get this much of cold unless they are hill stations. But in North India, the whole North India will be suffering from cold wave. So that is what is being said. Here is a person, he is old, he doesn't have anything, and how he is spending his whole cold time, day or night, but especially at night. This is how. But the important thing is, tadapina munchati asha pasha. That pasha, that fond hope, vain hope, that I can one day perhaps experience the same sensual pleasures as I used to experience when I was young. Here something very interesting. Suppose a young person, a young man, is renounced the world and he will go for bhiksha. There are so many places where they give bhiksha, roti, dal, and rice, and curries, and sometimes sweets, sometimes curds, etc. And especially Punjabi people, they are very generous. And they usually, nowadays perhaps some change has come, but even now, there are some Punjabi people who keep up the tradition. Sadhu means sadhu. They always keep a few rotis extra, so that if any wandering monks, parivrajikas, happen to come at the time of eating, Aye Maharaji, roti dal toda khaiye. So, if they can afford, they give one, and one means it is not like Swami Dayatmananda's chapati, but one such chapati of this Punjabi mother can fill Swami Dayatmananda for a month. That kind of chapati, and the sadhus were capable. What is the point? The point is, when a sadhu is young, he can really enjoy it, and he can also digest it. When the same person becomes old, his capacity both to enjoy and also to digest become less. So, verse number 16 is graphically depicting the condition of such a sadhu when he has become a old person. Agre vahnihi prishthe bhanuhu ratrau chubuka samarpita januhu karatala bhikshaha tarutala vasaha tadapina munchati asha pasha. This is one of the most important verses again, and it has a double meaning. I will come to that very soon. So there is fire in front of him, and there is the sunlight at the back, daytime. At night, he crouches with his chin between his knees to preserve the heat warmth. He lies under a tree and has only his hands to receive alms. Alas, in spite of all this, he is not free from the ropes of desire which has bound him. As I said, there are two ways of interpreting this verse. And then the first verse is what? This fellow has no capacity. There is something very interesting. If there are two monks, and there could be enormous difference between their fates. I narrated one story, but I will narrate this story also. Once it so happened that two wandering monks met on the banks of a river, and both of them wanted to cross the river. Boat is available, but the boatman will demand some fee for taking the pilgrims, the travelers, across the river. Of course, that is the livelihood. Now, these two have met. They got introduced to each other. One was quite old. Another was young. So, the old sadhu asked him, "My brother, do you have sufficient money to cross this river, to pay the boatman?" And the young monk said, "No, I don't have a single penny. I have taken a vow. I will never carry any money." And incidentally, many of the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, at some point or the other of their lives, they have taken a vow not to touch money, but to depend totally upon God. And the senior monk chided the younger monk, "It is okay not to have attachment, but always good to keep some money. For example, now if you want to cross and there is no way," then the young monk has said, "No, I depend upon God. If it is His will, I will cross it. He will arrange. But if it is not His will, I am quite happy so to be here as long as necessary, as long as God keeps me in that condition." So the other senior monk, he said, okay, I will pay for you and let us both cross." And then he paid the money, they crossed in the boat, and then still the old man was chiding the younger man, and the younger man smiled and said, "Sir, we did not meet here accidentally. God knew that my child requires some money and he brought you here specifically so that you pay for my boat fare, because I totally dependent upon God. Now, doubts may come. Suppose this old man has not come. Two things we have to understand. First of all, the young man will not mind. Says, it's not God's will. I'll spend my time on this side of the river. That's all. Until the right time comes. He is not worried. And second thing is, whether I cross the river or not, the ideal of my life is to think about God. And I am very happy thinking about God. So whether I cross the river or not, it doesn't make any dent in my happiness. So that is the most marvelous story. Such wisdom stories are there everywhere. So here is the depiction by Shankaracharya. It is also attributed to one devotee called Subodha. It doesn't matter who has composed it. So here is the graphic description of a person. A grey vahnihi. And it must be cold season, because nobody will light up the dhuni when it is very hot and make oneself unbearably hot. So in front, there is some fire. How powerful is that fire, we do not know. And backside, there is the sunlight is falling. So the person, that means the person doesn't have even proper dress. So the fire is heating up somewhat from the front, and the sun was comforting him from the back. But when night comes, there is no sunlight. Maybe perhaps the fire also has gone out. Ratro, Chubuka Samarpita Januhu. He wants to curl up into a fetus position to keep as warm as possible. Body generated heat. This is what we all do instinctively whenever we are cold. And if there is not sufficient this one, that is what we do. Remember, when you have very warm blanket, you want to stretch yourself as much as possible to suffer from intense heat, warmth. But if there is not sufficient, then you curl up your, you draw up your knees, etc. It's a very natural thing that, like children, we want to sleep like that. In fact, children sleep like that, not because of the cold or heat, but because they get great comfort. Somebody is hugging me, even though they hug themselves. And they put sometimes, to console themselves, their own finger, thumbs into their mouth. So, Ratrau Chubuka Samarpita Januhu. That means the chin and the knees come together, and that means he is trying to keep his warmth as much as possible. Then, what does he do for his livelihood? Karatala Bhikshaha. That is, he goes, because he doesn't have even a single utensil to receive what the pious householders do. So he will just put, Ramana Maharshi used to say, this wonderful thing. So when I first came here, there were no arrangements for cooking. Nobody was there. I used to go once in a day, and I will stand silently in front of a house. And then by that time, some people have recognized him. So they will see him. This Brahmana Swami, they used to call him Brahmana Swami, has come for bhiksha. Some people used to give. Some people say, no, we cannot give, you go elsewhere. So he used to say, if somebody wants to give, I will stretch my both hands, and whatever they put, I will eat up, maybe once, it may be twice, and then wash at the kolai, means that water tap, and move on to the next house. At some point of time, he took a vow, I will not visit more than 3 houses, and not same houses, because attachment can come. Supposing there is a person who enjoys food, a monk I am talking about, and he begs food, and he happens to go, and he recognizes, he is intelligent enough that the cooking, the food that has been offered in one particular house is much more tasty than the cooking, same dal, sambar, rasam, etc. from other houses. This difference is there upon the cooks, not upon the cooking material. So that person, he goes and then he says, this house, if I am lucky to get food from this house, and it will make me extremely happy. The pleasure I derive from the foods I get from this house are far more tasty. So he will be hoping against hope that householder lady will give more bhiksha from that particular house. Ramana Maharshi never discriminate. He used to say that I will not visit same houses only after some days when I exhaust other houses. That is the first point. Second point is, he decided, I will only beg from three houses. Suppose all the three houses, they refuse to give anything or they do not give. He says, this is not God's will, because when a sadhu goes there, he will be telling, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. O Divine Mother Bhagavati, please give me mother alms. Mata Bhiksham Dehi Kripavalambana Kari Mata Anna Purneshwari. So, whether I get or not, if I get, mother is giving, not these householders, through them. But if I don't get, that is also mother's will. Just because I did not get from three houses, I will not visit fourth house, fifth house, etc. And that is the most marvelous thing we have to understand. So, he used to say, sometimes he has to return empty-handed, but always God has looked after him, and slowly later on, some people, his own mother started, and then doing lot of marvelous incidents are there. I might recount them when the time comes, but here is the graphic description of a person. He's at night, he's sitting there, his face in between his knees to preserve the warmth. Ratrau chubuka samarpita januhu, and he doesn't have any utensil even to keep what other people out of compassion give. Karatala bhiksha, only he can receive in his hands. And where does he sleep? He doesn't have a house. Tarutala vasaha, he'll be sleeping under a tree, whether it is shining or raining or hot or cold, whatever it is. But in spite of all these hopeless conditions, tadapina, even in that state, namunchati asha pashaha, he doesn't give up that bondage called asha. This is the first meaning. Second meaning is, this person has decided that I will give up everything, I will not accumulate anything, I will be living this kind of life deliberately. Even if I am capable of having some utensil, I will not use it. I will only use my hands. That is what is called voluntary tapasya, I am going to do. But whether it is voluntary or involuntary, the point is that are you able to give up hope? And if I am able to give up slowly, gradually, it will take time. That's marvelous. If not, it will help. But really, I have not achieved anything. So difficult to give up the hope. And as I said, hope for God realization is an entirely different issue. But hope for worldly happiness, which one has been forced either to renounce or voluntary renunciation, whatever it may be, even the most sincere sadhakas, very difficult to give up, we have to keep a very sharp outlook how this thing is going to affect us in our day-to-day life. And if we can make a sincere effort, then certainly we'll progress in spiritual life. But the point is, whatever be the condition, whether we are householders or monks, whether we have things or do not have things, but it is important to give up this worldly hope, and hope always for the infinite grace of God. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.